Welcome to the Balanced Body Podcast. I am Ashley Mazurek. And this month, we're going to talk about initiations of life. I am an avid reader, as probably most of you are too. I typically read one or two books a month. And I have a really interesting book that I have been reading about Joseph Campbell and the reflections on the art of living. And it's a really cool book. And in it talks about Jung's work, and it talks about, in a small section, the initiations of life and ultimately coming to the point of death. And I don't know how many of you are fearful of death or welcome death and what that all means. I've done a lot of studies on what death represents. I've done several journeys to the exploration of what that means. And it's an interesting journey, but hopefully, I think I will, but hopefully I will be at a place when it comes to my end where I will welcome leaving this earth plane. I feel like I would be. I don't feel like I fear it. But you just never know when it actually happens. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to go through many processes of past life regressions and life between lives and psychic healings and all kinds of different explorations of self, realization of self. And I do know when I'm supposedly going to end this life, which is not something everyone wants to know. I did want to know and did find out. So it's going to be interesting if it all plays out just exactly as it is. But, you know, death, a lot of death has been taking place in the past couple of years, right? With COVID and, you know, experiencing loved ones and people that are close to us that have died and how that plays out within ourselves and what that means to us is interesting, kind of sad in a lot of ways. And if you've had close people leave you and die, you know what the process of that realization is. I just recently played out in a little experiment, and my grandmother on my mother's side and my grandmother on my father's side have passed. Both grandfathers have as well. And one little experiment I played the other day, actually it was the other week, I was asking if my grandmother was near me to show me a sign. I like proof. I like evidence. I like a little science wrapped up in the abstract. And I love validation, right? Validation is important for me. It's that sense of loss of trust, I guess, that I still work on, you know, trusting myself. And I asked, if my grandmother is near me, show me a white feather. And I went home and I walked my dog and I'm looking around nature and on our little journey, walk outside looking for a white feather to see if my grandmother was near me. And I didn't see a white feather. And I was like, okay, well, the rule of thumb is typically give it about 72 hours, ask and see if it shall be received. And so I went home and I'm like, okay, so let me just keep focused on looking for a white feather to see if my grandmother, I feel like I feel her, but I don't know for sure. So I asked. Well, the next morning I took a notebook out of my desk that I wanted to take to work because I don't really work at my desk at home that much anymore. And I got in my car and I was putting my notebook in my work bag and a white feather came out. Now, how would a white feather get in my notebook? So I thanked the universe and I believed and am thankful that my grandmother on my mother's side is watching over me. So let's get back to the initiations. So this is the work of Joseph Campbell's initiation stages. And also he quotes Nietzsche's. It is, I'm not sure if I'm even saying that word right, but it's the work of him as well. And so let's go through this, these stages of initiation. I learned about initiations years ago when I took my esoteric 4-year certification and was able to figure out which initiation stage I'm in, which is good for my ego to see how evolved I am. And that created a little bit of validation. But his stages are interesting, and I want to talk about these because it does help us, encourage us, inspire us to move forward. The first initiation is really the beginning. It's the psychology of the child. It is the obedient child. It's the infantile ego. It is the dependent. It is the child being dependent upon their caregivers to take care of them, to feed them, to house them, to give them safety and security. But as we grow, we are to individualize and become less dependent. We become less self-reliant on an adult to take care of us in society. And it truly is, in my experience coaching adults, that the idea of taking responsibility for oneself does seem to lack. And the research shows that the average human being is mentally, emotionally 10 to 12 years old, which does sit into that sacral plexus of taking responsibility for oneself. And so that leads into asking the question, am I responsible for myself, or do I tend to rely on other people to take care of me and take responsibility for my own actions? It isn't for me to judge. It is for me to hold equanimity and not judge, and for one to ask themselves and figure for themselves through their own sense of reflection, whether that they do or they don't, or maybe sometimes they do and maybe sometimes they don't. But being aware is the catalyst to change. So in the first quarter, we move from the big first initiation to the first quarter of our life. First quarter is the student. We are still in that obedience or comeliness, which basically means paying attention to your appearance, making sure that you look right or you look according to society's needs and wants of you. It's making sure that you're sweet in your conduct. And it's really about conforming to what the societal ideal is, the patterns and the rules and the programming that you've been taught that you should be. Thou shalt is very important in this. It's the period in this first quarter of the camel. And the camel gets down on its knees and asks to have a load put on them. It's about being subservient, this period of the camel. It's remember being that obeying all the rules and doing what you're told and being the person that your parents want you to be so that you can get validation and love, whether it agrees with you or not. It's very much the student to learn. I didn't think I knew much about this and still believe that there's a part of me that is still the student where, and when I was in my first initiation and growing up, I didn't think I knew very much. And I kind of still, as an adult, still don't believe that I know a lot. And there's parts of me that believe that's a positive way about me where I feel like I don't know everything. There's a lot that I still don't know, and there's a lot that I still can learn. But as an adult, and as further initiations go on, it's about me being the adult and having the open mind that I am willing to grow and learn from others, but not be told what to do and do it because someone else has told me to do, and it going against my values, which is really important as we progress in our initiation, that we learn to differentiate from the thou shalts, from the values that were presented to us as a child that we may not agree with as an adult. And we then learn to establish our own new values. But in this first quarter, it's important that this quarter we experience and we go through tough experiences that allow us to grow up and create polarity and figure out what we want and what we don't want. And that helps us grow into the adult. It helps us cut the cord to our parents' ideals and determine what our own individual ideals are. And that, you know, that was a journey for me, as I had, and maybe some of you had, very controlling parents that didn't really teach you anything. They just told you what to do. So that creates the need to always need to know what to do versus being encouraged to experience life to figure out what you want to do. We're programmed with controlling parents to always do what they want you to do. And so through the experience of a lot of hard times, a lot of difficult business decisions and challenges through relationships and challenges through business decisions that were probably the best for me, that brought me into hard times and brought me into a lot of suffering to figure out what it is I wanted to do with my life and how I wanted to live my life. I do remember that even though my mother really never taught me a lot of things, it was my stepdad that was a teacher. And it wasn't really the best teacher for me. Kind of slow, kind of detailed. And what I learned from that experience as an adult is I don't resonate with that. I tend to be a multitasker. I tend to take information very quickly and learn how to do something. And so it taught me the type of teacher to learn from in the future from education. I'm a big education junkie. I love to learn. I love to learn from a certain type of teacher. And that's usually a quick talker, right? Somebody who gets a lot of information and doesn't get too detailed as it kind of, you know, you get glazed over in the eyes, and I tend to be more the big picture. So I look back and reflect on my life, and it's very interesting. Who you are or were as a young child is typically how you are as an adult. You're very much the same, and you very probably much resonate with that little girl. And oftentimes when we grow up and we grow to be an adult and we're looking for our purpose and we're looking for what we want to do versus what we need to do and what makes us happy and what makes us unhappy, it's important for us to reflect on those times. And I love journaling. I love the idea of putting it down on paper and reflecting and growing through that experience of reflection on paper. It is a time where you can reflect that is active, right? Versus if you would have told me 15, 20 years ago to sit and meditate and be quiet, I would not have been able to do it. I've grown into being able to do it. So I journaled a lot when I was younger and less as I get an adult, because I do like to sit in quiet and listen to my higher self and my oversoul and my guides and my angels as its direction, and then quickly write down the reflections in my journal without having to process it, because I can quickly process it because I've already done the processing, right? That's a journey in itself, and it does take time. And so as we move on from the first quarter of initiation, we go into the second quarter, and it's the householder. Right? It's the responsibilities of an adult taking care of self. And this typically can lead into the prostitute, which, yes, I very much remember the prostitute inside of me. where I did things to earn money that I knew would make me money, but I didn't necessarily want to do, and it didn't make me happy. But it was all about making the money. And in the second quarter, it's about achieving a position in society, like creating your name, finding your purpose, creating fame in the world. And fame in the world would be that social media aspect. For me, we didn't really have social media back when I was younger and I was in the second quarter, where you're making a name for yourself and you're branding your business and you do all of what you need to do to create that name for yourself, to create credibility and integrity. And it's important that we go through this process. It is the development of the ego. That ego is about making decisions. And these decisions move into less about fame and fortune and more about based off your values. And if you have a business, this is my third facility, I should say, where you run your business not to make money, not to be famous, and not to climb the status, but to form the business around the values that reflect who you are in the heart and what you love to do. And this is the second court of initiation. So thou shalt, it's getting rid of those thou shalts and that programming that existed before that no longer serves you now. And part of getting rid of the thou shalt is being aware of, are you doing something from a thou shalt? Are you doing something because somebody told you to do it? Are you doing it because you truly want to do it to help and serve society from a place of love? So you have to ask yourself, is this what I believe in? Or is this what I'm programmed to believe? And that is meditative time, self-reflective time. And it's time dedicated to understanding you as an adult versus you as the child. And there's the journey of the inner child work, where you're figuring out the aspects of happiness and unhappiness based off the adult or based off the inner child. And that takes a little bit of time to look inside of yourself. And when you're unhappy or when you're sad or when you're suffering or when you're depressed, is it the child self that is needing something with inside of you that basically comes down to just love and understanding and compassion that the adult self is acting out on as a part of being sad or depressed or digging into that black hole? And can we communicate with that inner child and establish peace and love that makes our adult self happy again? And I'm not saying that we always have to be happy. I'm saying that when I say happy, I mean being content and being at peace with where we're at currently in our present day life and what we're doing with our life, what we're doing with our time, what we're doing with our energy. Is it something that we enjoy and we're doing for a greater purpose, for the greater good, for the greater whole of self? Or there are bits and pieces of us that are fragmented, that are hurting, that need healing. And that is the journey through these initiations. As we move from the second quarter of the householder, we get into midlife. I remember my midlife. It was early. I felt like I was having a midlife crisis. Very early. I was in my early 30s. And it was a dark night of the soul for me. Very sad, very depressive. And I read a lot of Thomas More's books. And he, who gave me the realization that I was obviously unaware of, that it's actually okay to have a melancholy way. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to be depressed. You know, when you're raised to be always happy and to be happy for your parents and to be satisfied with whatever, even though you're not. And the way you get things is putting on the front of being excited and happy so that people will love you. You learn to grow up in as an adult faking being happy and excited when you're truly not deep inside. You're truly unhappy and sad. And so that is experience and time. And that midlife is about moving into a place of doing things from not so much achievement of status and fame and creating that name, but it's about the realization. It's about the period of fulfillment what's inside of you. And Nietzsche's, it's Nietzsches. Yes, I don't know how to say that word. His stages say that this is also the stage where the camel gets up from the knees and walks into the desert to become the lion. The lion that kills the dragon of the thou shalt. No longer I will be governed by thou shalts, and I will be governed by my own wants and needs. And also, this is this self-discovery that we move into a higher form of love. We move from that sex and violence love. We move from the conditional love where we only do things based off of what we get out of it, right? That's conditioned love. There's a condition behind everything we do. Well, I don't know where you guys are at, but there comes a time where it doesn't feel good anymore to only be thinking of what you're going to get from something. Feels good to just be able to give without needing or wanting anything in return. And it's also very interesting to observe that in other people where they're still stuck in that conditional stage where they only do to get in return. And so that may be them stuck in that midlife, no matter what age they're at. They just haven't moved beyond it where they've learned to establish that higher level love. And I do believe that is a lack of self-reflective, quiet time, self-awareness, introspective time. And, you know, I do believe that the meditative space and energy that you put in your day to do this is very important. A consistent practice helps you move through these stages and move into a higher form of love. Now, if people are still in this midlife and are still expecting benefits from being good, or the polar opposite is being punished for being bad, then they're delayed in this midlife. And, you know, I reflect on that a little bit more deeply because if I'm being honest, sometimes we have I talked about the prostitute, and there's also the saboteur archetype where I found myself doing this a lot in the past where if I'm honest and I'm reflecting as to why I do the things that I do that I truly know don't serve me, then I was being the saboteur, right? And let me give you an example. Is if something happens to me and I'm upset about it, I would typically go and eat something to comfort me. And knowing that that food is comfort food and is really sabotaging my internal health of my digestive system and my mental emotional stability, the question is, why am I doing this? Why am I sabotaging myself? And I do believe that it's unconscious punishment for doing something that was a mistake. And are there really any mistakes? No. Is there good and bad? No. I believe that it is an opportunity to grow. Maybe not the best thing. There was a mistake. I think it could be either something good and bad. And saying sometimes, oh, that was a bad choice. And now I try to catch myself with my words as I'm more aware and witnessing what I say and what I think and what I do. And I have to remind myself that it was a choice and it may not have been the best choice, but what can I learn from this choice that created an outcome that doesn't feel very good, right? But not to title it with good or bad, which then permeates the saboteur, which then creates destructive behavior, which is a form of punishment to self. And I think that's important reflection for all of us to come to a place of. And I say that from how powerful words are for our perception about ourselves and how we judge ourselves and how that doesn't serve us. I'm not saying that it's easy, but if we can be conscious, can be more aware, then we can heal that and move through it and get better. I'm not saying we'll never do it again, but I'm saying that we can be better at it and we can grow through it. And, you know, that delayed midlife is still the infantile ego growing, right? That expecting, you know, expecting, asking yourself, do I expect, do I have a condition? And I always talk to clients about their frustrations. And at the end of the day, when we become frustrated, it's because we formed an expectation on someone or something to happen. We expected something good to happen when we were disappointed that it didn't go the way that we wanted, then we get frustrated. Well, the answer to that is try not to have an expectation. Oh, easier said than done. Challenge. I'm encouraging myself and I'm encouraging all of you to work on it. We can get better at it the more we're conscious of it and the more we're aware of it. As we move through midlife, and I can also say that we can kind of move back through these stages. I find myself being in the first initiation sometimes or the second quarter initiation where I have to remind myself why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. And is this to create a name, or am I trying to get validation, or am I trying to get accolades for doing something? Fine. Give ourselves reprieve. Give ourselves forgiveness. Forgive ourselves and move forward, move on, and allow our growth to happen with that forgiveness. If we don't forgive and we keep persecuting ourselves, that's not serving growth at all. So we move through midlife and we go into the last half of life. So this is the quest for the om. So I don't know if you guys do oming or toning in your practice. I love it. It's a great way to eliminate the thoughts in the mind when you're oming. And it is a practice of feeling. You do it long enough, you feel a sense of bliss and unconditional love. And that's exactly what oming is and what it represents. So it's the forming, it's the structure of what and why you're participating in this life. And it's without achievement that we do and that we help and that we serve. And it's without prestige. We do it because we have an open heart to just help heal, to help heal ourselves, to help heal others. And there is no byproduct that comes from it other than we're here on this earth at this point in our life to just serve and to just love and to permeate that love and light through the wholeness of ourself. Wholeness, meaning through these stages, we have fragmentation or pain or inner child wounds that through these stages, we heal those so that we can get to the last half of our life and welcome the love that comes into play and observe if it's not love, then what is it and what does it mean and how can we grow through that to be better? And look at death as a place of moving into more bliss and energy where we are going back home, Right? We're going back to the unconditional love of what exists and the energetic nature of God or source or wherever that is, that our soul goes to regroup and figure out what we learned in our lifetime so that we can take our next life and grow and experience what we need to in that lifetime. And so those are bits and pieces of the stages of initiations that I got from just a couple pages in this really good book that I thought was very interesting as it relates to how we can grow, how we can be aware, how we can inspire, how we can motivate ourselves. The book was called A Joseph Campbell Companion. If you're interested in reading it, it's very good. It's got little short chapters and deep, profound revelations about life and existence of living in polarity on this earth. I found it very inspiring. So if you are interested, take a look at it. And so I'll end on that note. I hope learned a little bit or created validation. You may have known all about this information, but maybe just an aspect of reminding, right? To remember and encourage you to continue on your, as you grow through life and become more conscious. Thanks for spending a little bit of time with me. Appreciate everyone taking the time to listen to any of the words that I share. It's purely from my heart, and I send lots of love and blessings to you all. Thank you. Thank you again for listening, as I know you have many platforms to listen to, and you chose the Balanced Body Podcast. I'm grateful for your time and energy, as I have the honor of providing this podcast with the intention only to educate, motivate, and inspire all to move closer towards your ultimate dream or purpose in this lifetime. Please feel free to visit or leave feedback on balancebod.com and share this podcast with another who feel like they may benefit in some way from the information. If you enjoyed the variety of my topics, and you can also subscribe to Balanced Body Podcast via the applepodcast.com. This will allow you to be notified when the newest podcast is released.